Always a joy to be with you. It's been some time, but not too long, but it's good to be back with you. I've been blessed this morning. Brother Lindsay read Psalms 103. That brought back memories as the first sermon I ever tried to preach right there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. It was a long time ago. That was in the early 70s, about 72. And I say amen to the Sunday school lesson, amen to the singing a while ago, and it's just a blessing to be here. Turn with me to in your Bibles to over in 2 Thessalonians. Sort of pick out a phrase, but look at the passage here. May the Lord just bless the reading of this word and bless the remarks this morning. My wife texted me this morning and says, "How are you feeling? I'm praying for you today." And I appreciated that. And I give her a call back after that. Here in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter number 2, in verse number 13, I want to speak to you about brother, beloved of the Lord. Beloved. You know, the Lord said, "This is my beloved son," didn't he? And here Paul writes to the people of God, and he says to them, "Brethren, beloved." And now the term is to the sisters and the brethren, as we look at it. The sisters, beloved, or brethren, beloved. And first of all, he says in this verse, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you." And he uses this phrase again in verse number 3 of the first chapter. And if you turn back to 1 Thessalonians, it's used again. He says, "We're bound to thank God always for you." Now, this is important, as I see it. When the apostle looks at the children of God, he thanks God, doesn't he? He always thanks God for God's children. He thanks God for what He's done in their lives. It's God that is saved. It's God that is made new creatures in Christ. It's God. And when he sees a child of God, he thanks him. And if you're a child of God, we should thank him, shouldn't we? And so he gives thanks in the right place. And as I see you this morning, I thank the Lord for what he's done in your hearts, in your lives. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. And he goes on, and there's a background to this text. And you can see that it was perilous times, and it's that way now. And as the Bible was written, and that day, as Paul writes, it's perilous times. And I'm sure that you recognize and know today that it's perilous times. It's evil times. It's a day of strong delusion. It's a day of that of persecution and tribulation. Now, we've talked about and looked at history. Go back in history and we see the persecution of Christians. And it sort of subsided for some time, but it's always been here. But we see it springing up again, don't we? And notice what he writes here in verse 10, 11, and 12. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth." You better love God's truth. It goes on and it says, "that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send a strong delusion." Now, I've heard people say, well, this is down the road. This is years to come. I don't believe that. I believe it's now. Now, he sent a strong delusion. It goes on, and it says that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. So it was a day that a lie was believed, and that's certainly a day that we live in, a lie is believed. Is a day that they had pleasure in unrighteousness, and that's certainly our day, isn't it? Men have pleasure in unrighteousness. But Paul writes and he says it's different with you. Notice how he changes this thing in verse number 13 here. But we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brother and beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He writes and says to you, see how different it is? You're beloved of the Lord. God's chosen you to salvation. He set you apart by His Spirit. You believe the truth. You love the truth. You've been called by the gospel to the obtaining of glory. Now, as we pointed out, this is perilous times, but God has a people. Today, He has a people. He has those that are His. There are those that still follow the Lamb. There are those that look to the Lamb. There are those that believe the truth. They're still beloved of the Lord, and they find joy and peace in Him. God's children have trials and tribulation and troubles. They still have the old Adam, and he's to be contended with. There's that Adam nature of sin. But in Christ Jesus, the Bible says we're without spot or wrinkle. We have a vital union with Christ as a vine and the branches. And it tells us here they're blessed. I preached last week on blessed are they. And here's their standing in grace, and they're called brethren, beloved of the Lord. What a special word. And I hope this morning that as we look at this scripture that this just stands out, beloved. Brethren, beloved. Sisters, beloved of the Lord. How did it speak, and what a title. As I hear the Lord, God say from heaven, this is my beloved son, Paul says here. It also says we're accepted in the beloved. Here's the beloved accepted in the beloved. And we know in that of the natural sense, that of brothers, they have the same parents, and there's to be a unity and the kinship, and brothers in Christ, they partake of the new nature. They've been begotten. There's the new birth. They have divine life that's been bestowed upon them. They're born from above. And that's important today, that our birth comes from above. Most people teach they born themselves, don't they? But we are born from above. God births us. The Holy Spirit births us into His family. And it's from the same source. We're members of the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're connected together. The Bible tells us all of these things, how that we're connected. And, you know, brothers, they have a common experience in the flesh. They have the same parents. They have the same, live in the same house. Partake of the food, the same table, have the same privileges. And brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have common experiences also. We've been emptied. Empty-handed we came. Isn't it? Isn't that how we came to Christ? Empty-handed. We've been brought to Him. We've been led to Christ Jesus. We believe upon Him and trust in Him and rely upon Him. And our salvation's in Him as the atoning sacrifice. We walk as pilgrims in this world. And that's just what we are, just pilgrims. We're just passing through. This morning, we recognize that fact, aren't we? We're just passing through this world. There's a time allotted. I've often thought about why are we here at this particular moment. And again, it's God's providence, isn't it, that we're here at this particular moment. I don't know why you weren't born 1,000 years before, 1,000 years later. But you're here at this particular time. And it's all in God's providence. And we look to Him. We're pilgrims. We eat at the same table. Christ is our food, isn't He? He's the bread of life. We feed upon Him. We're led by the same Spirit. And He always leads us according to the Word. Now, that's important. A lot of people say, well, the Holy Spirit led me. It's a fact. He always leads. It better be according to the Word, isn't it? If He leads one, that's how He leads them, according to the Word of God. And we're led by Him. There's love. Love for one another in the family of God. And we say, Our Father. I stopped and I thought about just saying Our Father. What a blessing that is. That we can come together this morning and we can say Our Father. Having God as our Father. The one that created this universe that has all power in heaven and in earth. The one that is love. The one that is mercy. The one that is grace. And to say He's our Father. And to know that we're in His heart. To know that we're in His purpose. And to know that we're in His love. Beloved, here's His children. And they share in this love. I love to talk about God's love. Because it doesn't vary. It doesn't change. It's altogether different from that of man's. It's an everlasting love. It's from the beginning. And He didn't just love you when you turned to Him. That wasn't the beginning of His love. You see His love at Calvary's cross. You see the Lord dying. But that wasn't the beginning of His love. And you see this redemption, but that wasn't the beginning of it. The Scripture says He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. As He came and laid down His life, then we see the merits as His. He loved from eternity that of His people. I've loved you with an everlasting love and loving kindness. I have drawn you unto Myself. He saved you from sin's curse, the guilt and power of sin. Saves you from it. Also states that sin shall not have dominion over you now. And what He's done is priceless, is exclusive. Have you ever thought about just how priceless this blessing is? Of salvation. Of salvation by grace. And it goes on. It says He's chosen you to salvation. What a prominent doctrine in the Scripture. And yet it's disliked. It's passed by. One Sunday morning I was having to turn television on. I guess it's on Sunday morning. But I just remember the occasion. And one of the prominent preachers was preaching, and he's reading Ephesians, the first chapter. And I just thought to myself, now how's he going to handle that first chapter there, some of these verses there about chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? Well, how he handled them, he just read them and went right on. he's going to say something about a lot of verses, but when he got to that, he just read it and went right on. And yet people get angry at this. But again, it's the prominent doctrine of the Scripture. It goes all the way through the Scripture. If you love your Bible, you receive it. If you love God's Word, you receive it. And this is something God's done. And it's nothing that's outside of Himself. He's done this. He chose you because He chose you. That's all I can say about it. He loves you because He loves you. There's nothing in the creature. It's not something that's foreseen in you or some merit in you, because we're all guilty sinners before God. Justice says to us, death. And I'll tell you this, if we're left to ourselves, I know what it is. We're doomed and damned. If we're left to ourselves. And it's not a foresight of faith. That's the popular teaching today, but if you take the Scripture and you read it, God gives faith. Doesn't it? Isn't it a precious gift from God? And I've preached a couple times in some different churches in the last 6 months, and I don't know what the occasion was, but I've talked about faith and the preciousness of faith, and it's a precious gift of God. And people just look at me like, what is he saying? But that's the Scripture. You're saved by faith through grace. It's the gift of God, isn't it? And he says, you've obtained, not attained, but obtained, Peter does. Obtained, like precious faith. And that's God's gift. What a gift that he gives. And goes on and tells us from the beginning he's chosen. Notice what it says, he's chosen you. It's a personal thing. Chosen us. And he goes on, he says, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now you can't leave this out, can you? It all joins together, doesn't it? It has to all be put together. Those that he chooses, it's through the sanctification of the Spirit, to stand apart of the Spirit, and belief of the truth. There's two religions in this world, and one is built upon that of election, and the other is built upon free will. And as far as I am concerned, you can just lump all free willism together. One submits to the Scripture. The other denies the Scripture. But what does election do? It shuts us up to Christ. To Him only. On the other hand, when you ignore this, you're resting on something. You're looking to something else other than Christ. People are told to rest in their profession. I tell you today, you better rest in Christ. You better be Christ. And how often people, they lean upon anything but Christ Jesus and besides Him. See, all this is taken away when we look at election. We are saved as sinners for Christ's merit. Through faith. Irrespective of works. Although the Scripture says that this conversion, this saving experience, produces out of works, doesn't it? It tells you to be zealous of good works. We're shut up to Christ in faith. And it's humbling. Do you ever stop to think, why is God so gracious to me? Why has He dealt with me so graciously? Why has He come to me in His mercy? Why did He touch my life? Was I not going my own way? Was I not satisfied to go my way? Didn't he have to stop you? Didn't he have to bring conviction? And it's humbling. We thank him. We look to him. We praise him. No, on the other hand, free willism makes men self-righteous, proud. It's all about self. They become Pharisees. They've made themselves different. They made themselves different. The Bible tells us that he's the one that made us different. They look down at others and they say, well, they're not very strict like I am. they're less religious. Very good this morning lesson. Brother Lindsay, on religion. They say, well, that's what Pharisees did. I'm not like this other man. But again, this humbling, that we are nothing but sinners of a fallen race, and God alone has made us the difference. This God that has been merciful to us as sinners. And we must consent to this doctrine that the Scripture would speak to us. Say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. It's always better to side with God. Side with him. Then he goes on and says, belief of the truth. God saves with the means of the gospel by the Holy Spirit. Those that are born again receive Christ, don't they? You know what the Scripture says over in the book of John? As many as receive him, what happened? They were born. That's how one knows that they're born, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? If you've received him, you've been born. If you're born again, you receive him. And there's this precious gift of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says here, the gospel is called you by our gospel. By it, the very eternal purposes of God is fulfilled. You heard the gospel several times. Most of you did, but one day, you're like I am, one day you heard, didn't you? It came as preached, but one day you really heard. I like the verse over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's how it came to you one day. It's of your salvation. My salvation. It got further than just the ears, the outward. It got to the heart. You know, the Bible says the Lord opened Lydia's heart, didn't it? She was there at the meeting, and the Bible says the Lord opened her heart. And I'm convinced that's the way the Lord works. He opens hearts. There's the effectual calling, and this proves our election. Peter wrote and says, make your calling and election sure. And he put calling there before election, didn't he? Make your calling and election sure. And you and me, calling comes first, doesn't it? It comes first. And that's the gracious evidence of God's eternal love. And the results It tells us here of obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, these brethren beloved, they're going to share in Christ's glory. Now I assume y'all in the 18th chapter of the book of John that you went through the 17th chapter. Am I right? Am I not right? You've been through the 17th chapter of John, of the Lord's Prayer. You remember the verse, "Those that thou hast given me be with me where I am to share in my glory." So these beloved ones, they should be the happiest people on earth. There's an eternal God, and He loves you. He set His heart upon you, and He's proved His love. What's Calvary? What is the cross and Christ dying? Doesn't that prove the very love of God? It's Christ's love, God's love. And this ought to bring delight this morning. Beloved of the eternal God. Other things should take back seat. As you grow older, a lot of things you think was important, so important, is not as important as they used to be. They're just not that way. And a lot of things ought to just go ahead and take back seat. This should take the front seat right here, the eternal love of God. And here's the eternal God, our Father. Well, you don't want to offend the one that loves you with an everlasting love. You're not going to live. You're not to live as the world lives. This world ignores God. The psalmist said they say there's no God. And that's not really the atheist point there. They're just saying no God for me. I'm going to live my life like I want to live it. When you are the beloved of the Lord, your brother's beloved and sister's beloved, you go serve Him. You want to praise Him. You look to Him. You worship Him. Because you're His peculiar people. Now the word peculiar has changed. It's different in the King James and how we use it today. The word in the King James means God's surrounded you. You're His. It's like He's surrounded you. You're His people. The Bible says you're not your own. Now that's a great blessing, you young people that are saved, when you just come to that conclusion that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You're His peculiar people surrounded. Brethren, beloved, sisters, beloved, we'd be zealous of good works. The Bible tells us to set our affections on things above. We live in the world, but our home is heavenly. This is just temporary. And I guess the older you get, the more you realize that it is temporary. But that heavenly is for eternity. For eternity. We to tell of His grace, tell of His love. We to use opportunities to bring Him glory. We to love Him who greatly loved us. I would this morning, as we look at this text, brethren, beloved of the Lord, that you grasp it, that you hold on to it, And I'm sure that it'll help and comfort you as you go through this world. We need help. We need comfort as we go through this world. And this is something that will help you. Brethren, beloved, there's struggles in this life. We fight the fight of faith. We have an Adam nature. It's a lot of ups and downs. But Paul wrote this, and he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That fits it. I don't know what it is. Your situation might be different from my situation. But he says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Beloved, the word means dearly loved. And that's how the Lord said from heaven of his only begotten Son, this is my beloved Son. And here Paul uses that word beloved. Another point I'd like to make. If you're the beloved of the Lord, don't worry about how the world treats you. Don't worry about that. This is the highest honor of all. The highest honor that you could have. As Paul would write, and he says, dearly beloved. Use it this morning for that of joy. I've thought about God's love, and I've always appreciated my wife's love, and my family's love, and my church members' love, and all of that. But where would you be if it were for God's love? Where would you be if it were for His love? Use this title for joy in our hearts. Beloved of the Lord. Dearly loved of the Lord. Use it to praise Him. Aren't you glad He didn't pass you by? Aren't you glad one day He spoke to your heart? Aren't you glad one day you heard a calling that says, come sinner, come unto me. Come unto me. Glad one day he says, live. Live. Use it to praise him. Use it in service to him. To serve him. I belong to him. He gave Christ. He gave him for me. He hung upon Calvary's cross. Christ died in my stead. Use it to serve Him while we live in this world. Use it to worship Him. What are we going to do for eternity? Praise and worship, isn't it? I've heard these people talk about, oh, the watermelons up there is this big and the grapes are like grapefruits. I don't know what they're talking about. The Bible says that we're going to be with Christ. He's what heaven is. And we're going to worship Him. Worship the Lamb that was slain. Worship Him. Isn't it good to start with praise and worship here as we go along? It is. So here's some thoughts. Take them. Brethren, beloved. Beloved of the Lord. Dearly loved. How this ought to Just help us in our lives. Comfort us. And give us that of peace and joy as we go along. But Lord, bless this passage of Scripture to your heart. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because of what he's done for us. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the work that you've done in their lives. We are thankful for the desire that you put in them to be here this morning. And Lord, for bringing us all together in your providence today. And may, Lord, we just stop and ponder these words, brethren, beloved of the Lord. What a great honor it is. Lord, may we just set our things aside and see how that they're not important, but see how great this is and the importance of it. Bless these people who's here today. Bless this church. We pray in Christ's name. For his sake, we give him the glory. Amen. Amen.